Hi everyone, welcome to another JoyKeepers interview, and today I'm thrilled to have Eva Andrea Ditlevsen with me. There are many reasons for that, and I don't have time to share all of them, so let me just tell you a little bit about her. First and foremost, Eva Andrea is an amazing author. I just love the way she writes. It's partly her words that are beautiful and deep and unique, and it's the way she shares with great openness her spiritual journey, her discoveries, and her transformations. And then she is also a coach for other authors. She helps people find their words, express their experience, and make it their journey. She does many things. She's also a speaker, a teacher. She leads soul journeys, magical writing retreats, initiations of women circle leaders, and much more. And around all of this, embracing all of this, Eva Andrea is really here to remind us how connected we are. We are with our source and with each other. And yes, she does it brilliantly through her work, but she also does it strongly and powerfully through her presence. Eva is joy. She is love. She shines it and she beams it in everything she does. And so I'm so glad to welcome you here, Eva. Thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time. And I so look forward to what you will be sharing with us.
Thank you, Helena. I'm deeply touched by your words and what a welcome. And I must say, likewise, I love you and I love your work and I love the spirit you work in. There's so much joy and, yeah, sincere love in everything you do. So, yeah, I'm a fan too.
Thank you. This is a fun club. Oh, okay. And also welcome, of course, to everyone that will be seeing this replay. Thank you. So let's dive right into it and to the very bottom of it almost, or the height of it. Eva, you know that we have these three questions we ask our guests. And the first one I'm so excited about. What is your very first memory of joy?
I love that question. And as I was meditating on it in my bathtub this morning, I was reminded of, I think that this must have been my first real experience of pure joy. And that was when I was a very little girl, maybe four years old, I think. And I was camping during New Year in Norway on this conference center where I grew up. I didn't grow up there, but I grew up in this close Christian community, and we had a conference in the New Year. And it was 20 degrees minus. So it was very, very cold. And I'd heard that the grown-ups had been talking about that it was dangerous, you know, if you were outside too long. And you know, I was sleeping in a caravan together with my family, and there was just like some gas ovens there warming it up. And in the middle of the night, I wake up by someone going out to go to the toilet that is like several hundred meters from the caravans. And I wake up and I realize, oh, I need to pee too, you know? And I jump out of my bed and I just have this little nightgown on, like a pajamas on, but I can't reach for my jacket because it's too high, you know? So I just put some boots on and I walk out in this high, high snow that is like goes to here on me, right? And I tried to kind of walk on this little path thing to follow the one who has went to the toilet. Anyways, I fall over. And I fall over on my back. And then I see it, you know, I see the stars, this frosty sky with these beautiful stars. And it takes my breath away. I just hear them singing. I can hear the song of the stars. And it's like the feeling of immense joy and love and connection. And somewhere far away, I kind of hear inside that this is maybe dangerous. I have like that little voice, you can die here, you know, because it was minus 20. But I couldn't make myself leave that moment. It was the most beautiful thing ever. And I just stayed there. And in the end, I couldn't feel my body. I couldn't feel my body. And I was like, I might die. And then I thought, doesn't matter. I'll go up there. And then my aunt comes and shakes me and, oh, what are you doing up here? And she's coming back, you know, and warms me up. And I fall asleep inside the caravan. And I have that feeling that I have found a treasure, you know. And I cannot put it in words what it is I have experienced. Mm. But I think that was my first experience of pure connection and joy.
Oh, my God. You know, I can almost, well, I fortunately, I cannot feel the cold, but I can almost, you know, feel it. And you know, the when you speak of it this way, and I think we all can feel that, we all see that firmament. We all see those stars. It is there for all of us. Yeah. And you saw it. And you heard it. How beautiful. Fantastic. Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Yeah, and then fortunately, you did live to tell the tale and so much more. Mm-hmm. And there's been a long, long journey until now. And I'm so curious, because I imagine, and I also know that we all, it is a journey. It has definitely its ups and downs. How do you reconnect with joy when it's necessary? How do you find joy again?
Mm. Yes. Oh, I love that. It always comes through my soul, I believe. It is like, because as you know, it has been a journey, a hero's journey, and many transformations, and also many dark nights of the soul, you know? So I've really also experienced feeling disconnected many times, as we do when we go through the darkness and expand. But I think every time I connect with nature, every time I connect with my soul inside, and also when I connect soul to soul, I love, you know, creating communities. I love connecting deeply on a soul level. And every time I am reconnected with joy, and I think we've all experienced, even in the darkest moments, when we've been brought on our knees by life, a soul meeting can create that joy and reconnect us with how connected we are, and that we are one and we're not alone, even when we feel like it. Mm-hmm. And of course, every time, you know, when I must say, I think a secret is to be a servant for love, because I think that is what my soul is here to be. And I feel every time when I consciously make myself available for love to work through me, if it is in my writing or other work, it's the most joyful thing, and it's the most connected thing. And yeah, I know you know what I mean, because you do the same thing. and maybe many of you who are listening, you'll know what I mean, right?
Mm. But you put it in words for us, and you live it, and it's so beautiful. Yes, as we give love, we receive joy, and there are. This is so important. You mentioned the dark night of the soul, and the Joy Keepers Network is about keeping the energy of joy, but it is never about denying what we move through and the journey and the darkness too. And I've had the pleasure, the honor of exploring your course around the dark night of the soul. And I was moved by it. And I was also, it struck me with the deep understanding you have of what it really is and what it is not. And I have my one of my first big experiences of joy came right in the middle of a dark night of the soul. So I wonder if you would care to share a little bit about that, about the connection, the dark night of the soul, the journey, the joy, whatever you feel inspired to.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, I love it. It's always lovely to go into a conversation and see where it takes us, right? Yes. I have really been felt very drawn to explore and understand the darkness, because it has been such a big part of my transformations every time, and it has been hard to understand. So I have kind of had to really, and last a year or the year before, I was called to go to Avila, mm-hmm. Where my second spiritual novel kind of wrote me, you know, it called me to go there, and I connected with John of the Cross, who wrote the poem The Dark Night, and Teresa of Avila, and then soulmate journey and all about that. And what I really discovered in a new and deeper way was that every time we experience darkness, it's actually a protection while our souls are expanded so we can hold more light. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one of the greatest secrets that I've discovered, because it's such a comfort when you know that you can lean into the experience of being in that unknowing and feeling that your senses are blinded and you don't know who you you are not who you were, and you don't know who you are becoming. You're in that cocoon in a way. Transformation is happening, expansion is happening, and you can feel really abandoned and you can feel disconnected. And that is the darkness feeling, is a disconnection feeling. But when you know that, you can actually lean into it with trust. And I have found these pass-through energies, that is trust and not resisting. Surrender. These are like the pass-through. They put you on a fast track in a way, so you don't resist the darkness, and that is when it becomes suffering. There are things we can do to kind of collect light and take with us into the darkness when we go through that. And I know many experience these times right now, because it's a time of so much transformation on a collective level, but also personally. There are different things we can do, you know, by meditating. But even when we meditate and we are in darkness, we can actually have a hard time to connect, right? And we just have to, there's a saying in Danish that I love, and I haven't really found the perfect translation. Maybe you can help me. It's called Vandre I erindre stråleglans. You know that? To walk in the remembrance of our radiance, I think. Mm. Would you say that?
You know, some conversations take 5 hours and some takes a quarter. You have just given us a huge gift, really. This is so essential what you just shared. This knowing we can have that. Because most people, all of us, you know, just when darkness hits, the first thought is something is wrong. Yeah. And what you're reminding me is something is very right. Yes. Just wait. Wow, it's so beautiful. Thank you. Okay. So with all the gifts you have given us, is there anything else you would like to share?
Oh, you're so sweet. If you want to, I haven't even got to ask you about this, but I thought I can give you, everyone listening, if you want to, I can give you a meditation that is called Meet Your Divine Muse. And that is a very joy-giving meditation, because in that meditation, I guide you into the castle of your soul, and you meet your divine inspiration. And you connect with it, and you are reconnected with what wants to be created through you. Because there's a lot, as you know, creativity and bringing our gifts to the world is such a soulful thing for me, you know? And that's a place where we also meet, I know, in the Magical Writers Tribe and, you know, in magical writing. But that meditation is so good, even if you're not writing, And if you're just called to create something in the world and bring your gifts and share your song, you know. So I would love to give that as a gift. It has a value of 35 euros. But
that's so sweet of you. That's so generous of you. Thank you so much. Wow.
It feels like a lovely gift to give because, you know, when we talk about connecting, sometimes it's lovely to have a guide, right? And just you don't need to do anything. It just opens your heart.
Exactly. Yeah. And again, you can like just lean back and receive. Yeah. Thank you. So that is so, and I, by the way, I've done this meditation with Eva a couple of times. So
you
will
it,
enjoy it. Yes, you will enjoy it for sure. And and by the way, there will be with this video, below this video, there are links to Eva's work. Please visit, explore. There are more gifts to find and more journeys to take with her. So Eva, thank you so much. I could just continue, but that's not the game. This is the game. This is the rules. But maybe some other time. Thank you so much for all the gifts. I'm really blown away by how much insight and love and joy can be. There is no such thing as time, I suspect.
No.
And today we have the proof.
Yes. Thank you, Helena. I have loved to connect with you here and everyone. Sending love to you and everyone listening.
Thank you. To be continued.